News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig.
Here, y'all, 7 after 8, FM Talk 106.5. Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig. We'll talk with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap Mobile in the second half of this 8 o'clock hour. Also, you know, we're fine reading the text. That's a lot of fun. We know it's on your mind. But you can also call it that same number, and we'll put you on the radio, 343-0106. Be happy to talk to you about a variety of things, including, here we go, 11 o'clock today.
Yeah.
What's it going to be, D.O.?
What will happen? Will Governor Kay Ivey end the mask mandate for the state of Alabama? And, you know, that's not the only thing up for the possible, you know, ending by Governor Kay Ivey. I'm sure there's a much better word to use there. But also, you know, restrictions on businesses still at a lower capacity level.
Right.
Than 100%. Will they open up the businesses and do away with the mask mandate? We'll find out at 11 o'clock this morning. Now, anyone who has asked Governor Ivey's office what her plans are for later today during that press conference, everyone's been getting the same exact answer, where she has said her spokeswoman, Gina Maiola, has answered most of those people and has basically said, let me find her quote exactly so I get it perfectly correct.
Yeah, because she kind of gives you, I don't know, a little of this and a little of that.
Yeah, so Maiola said, all along, Governor Ivey has made clear that she prefers personal responsibility to government mandates. We are optimistic that our state is heading in the right direction, and we still have some work to be done. So she gives a little bit on both sides there. Prefers personal responsibility, you'd think, okay, doing away with the mask mandate. And then still have work to be done, you think, okay, we're carrying on with the mask mandate.
Exactly.
So that's all that's really been given out from Ivey's office publicly. But an interesting report from Breitbart News at Breitbart.com yesterday, a couple writers for Breitbart, Matthew Boyle and Kyle Morris, said that they have a source that is close to the Ivey administration that says come today during that press conference, Governor Ivey plans to eliminate the mask mandate and that we will join Florida and, I mean, Mississippi and Texas, and Florida is actually one of the states, too. There were 14 states that did not have a mask mandate in place before Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves and then Texas Governor Greg Abbott both joined those other states just a couple days ago. So Alabama is next with a decision to be made. Ivey will speak at 11 o'clock today, and we'll find out how correct this source that talked to Breitbart is.
You talked earlier today that this may have had this quote from the president yesterday may have recalibrated where Alabama's standing on all this. I find that a little hard to believe that that would play a role. But anyway, this is what Biden said yesterday.
I think it's a big mistake. Look, I hope everybody's realized by now these masks make a difference. The last thing we need is the Neanderthal thinking that in the meantime, everything's fine. Take off your mask. Forget it. It still matters.
I've got a couple of responses here. One is from the text line. I think it's Natalie. Just telling you, I'm taking orders for our printed T-shirts, Deplorable Neanderthals. that could be a T-shirt by later on today, I think.
Yeah.
And also, one of the governors in question with the, releasing and relieving the state of all the mandates was, of course, Tate Reeves from Mississippi. So he is replying here to what Joe Biden said yesterday.
So we no longer have a health care crisis in our state. And so we've got to allow our people to make good decisions. The fact is, I trust Mississippians and I trust Americans to do what's best for themselves and their family. And I wish the president would focus on trusting Americans rather than trying to insult Americans.
Three things real quick as we talk about Kay Ivey's decision and her announcement coming up. Number one is, for instance, one Alabama medical expert from UAB, and of course that's the bell cow of all medical universities in the state of Alabama, Dr. Sarah Navziger, Vice President of Clinic Support, she says it's not time. Alabama isn't out of the woods yet with COVID-19. It's too early for Governor Kay Ivey to lift a mask order. That's been in place since, as you mentioned, since July. Number two, the Hospital Association of the State of Alabama released a statement earlier this week basically the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, let's be cautious here. It's too early. And number three, and I think the most important, when Governor Ivey speaks today, she'll be side by side
with
the
Dr. Scott Harris,
the state health director.
Yeah,
who obviously so the health community seems to be, you know, out of one playbook.
Yeah,
and politicians, business people, and in large part probably just everyday citizens are out of the other playbook. Mm-hmm. So with Scott Harris side by side with KIV when she makes her pronouncement. I'm interested in his words because each time she has spoken, he has as well, right?
Yeah, you have to imagine that Dr. Scott Harris, his opinion on this is in line with the Medical Association.
You would think.
And with the CDC, who basically said the same thing. Now, you mentioned the politicians. Eddie Burkhalter with the Alabama Political Reporter had a report yesterday. He said Alabama Senate just approved a resolution urging Governor Ivey to rescind the mask mandate. Mm. Of course, then he went on to say it's set to expire Friday and holding a press conference today at 11. But so you're right. You have the politicians saying, let's do away with these government restrictions. You have healthcare workers saying, we need to keep doing it. We're almost out of the woods. We're about to reach herd immunity in the next few months. Why don't we just keep doing what seems to be working a little bit? But I think if you did some real polling in the state, that a majority of Alabamians would say, time to get rid of the mask mandate. Mm-hmm. And that is certainly because a majority of Alabamians are of the conservative bent.
Sure. And the majority of Alabama, if you take, you know, there's more people living in metropolitan areas, Mobile, Baldwin County, Huntsville, Birmingham, Montgomery. But the state itself, it's pretty rural, pretty spread out.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see all your comrades at Clark Prep and living up in the country.
Yeah.
Are there even masks to be found up there?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I didn't go many places the last time I was up in my old neck of the woods, Grove Hill and Clark County, but it's totally different. Birmingham, Mobile, I'd imagine Huntsville, Montgomery. I think outside of those four cities, I mean, even go to Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, right, which still have a lot of people, but there's not as much mask wearing happening there. Then you go to some of these towns that have just a few thousand people that live there. And when I went to Groveville, I went quite a few places and not really a mask in sight.
So
and part of that, I'm sure, is because there just aren't as many people in these places.
Right. And the attitude of the people in those places is pretty uniform, like, we don't need a mask. And as you talk about the dropping cases in the state of Alabama, we might be able to break this down at some point, mm-hmm. because you're a lot better with these numbers than I am. With the dropping cases in the state of Alabama, I would think that the numbers are even far less percentage-wise in those outlying areas. But the outlying areas actually make up most of the state.
Yeah, and we kind of saw it, you know, in the first major spike in Alabama came in the larger cities. And then you would see kind of each smaller city have their own spike at mm-hmm. some different time. I'm not sure of the exact numbers right now in the more rural areas. And we haven't done or I haven't seen polling on whether what percentage of Alabamians actually want the mask mandate removed. But yesterday on our Facebook page and on our website, fmtalk1065.com, we asked you the question, do you think Governor Ivey will extend the mask mandate? Not whether you want the mask mandate to be extended, but do you think the governor would extend it? And this was prior to that Breitbart article. And a majority of people on both the Facebook and our website said they do think Governor Ivey will extend the mask mandate. The latest numbers on our website, 63% said, yes, I do think Governor Ivey will extend the mask mandate. Well, according to Breitbart News, that'll come to an end later today or tomorrow, I guess, once the ordinance ends and Governor Ivey makes that announcement today. But what will, you know, Governor Ivey, we've seen her in the past. She seems like she doesn't want the state to be the center of national attention. Mm-hmm. And we were wondering if she had pressure put on her by Texas and Mississippi doing what they did. But in a way, did she maybe have pressure relieved? Because if Alabama drops it, you know, might be in the national news
yep.
a few days. But really, it seems to be Texas that's catching the brunt of this.
That's a good point, because Texas is the one state that's got legitimate metropolitan, you know, centers of commerce and population, and mm-hmm. Houston, Dallas, San Antonio and Austin as well. Those are pretty big cities. I mean, some of them are massive cities, and I think that's where the concern comes in.
To be honest with you, no, all this talk is about the mask mandate. I am more interested in what happens with the businesses and whether some capacity restrictions will be lifted. I can live with the mask.
I can, too.
I don't like that the government's mandating it, but I do realize that in many instances, masks do help. And it doesn't bother me so much. I know I put a gator on, which you tell me doesn't do anything. And I believe you, Dan.
Sean tells me, and I tell you.
but I'm interested in what will happen with the businesses. And will we go back? You said this will be an interesting test case. If we start to see cases rise in Alabama and hospitalizations start to rise again, will Governor Ivey and Scott Harris get back out there and say, oops, we made a mistake. Time to put the masks back on.
It wouldn't be the worst case scenario would be Dan in some sort of a lockdown again.
That'd be
hard to believe.
I don't see that happening.
I wouldn't either. From the text line, choosing to wear a mask or not, so easy Neanderthal can do it. So the caveman reference from the Geico commercials. Well played. I'm kind of on pins and needles for 11 o'clock now. I'm kind of psyched like I got a game coming up.
Yeah, we need to put a drum roll in before Ivy makes her announcement.
817 FM Talk 106.5. Call us 343-0106. Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwood on Mobile Mornings. Morning from Dan Brennan, Dalton Norwood, FM Talk 106.5. Rob Hobart from Lanyard Mobile. Left to the bottom of the hour. Left, we talked to Louis Arata. Mm-hmm. That's always something we have to do.
And it's time to vote nappies. We'll talk more in depth with Rob about this year's nappies awards. But starting yesterday at noon, you can nominate. So everyone nominate Dan. That's what I think.
I find winning those awards so annoying, quite frankly. You got to dress up and go to that thing. Okay, guess who's going to be at the Tokyo Olympics this year?
A few sprinters, at least.
A few sprinters. But as far as fans, nobody we know. Because the once postponed Tokyo Olympics, I guess, postponed, and now they're planning on doing it, right?
Yeah, they're planning on it because it was, scheduled for last year. And then the pandemic happened, so they pushed it off this year. But Japan saying it's a go.
Yeah, but a Japanese newspaper said on Wednesday the decision's been made to exclude... Not foreign athletes. You have to have them. It's the Olympics. But foreign fans, forget about it. Don't even, if you're somebody who, I guess there's some people out there that do that. It's a destination trip. It's a lot of fun. I don't think I've ever talked or met or know anybody that's been to Olympics abroad, but I'm sure there's people in this city that have gone to that and enjoy it.
I'm sure in Atlanta.
To travel across the out of the country, you'd have to be a super fan or just look at it like a vacation, right?
Yeah,
it would be pretty cool. It cited only unnamed sources involved in the discussions about their excluding foreign fans. It said a final decision would be made within the month. I think everything's pretty fluid with the Olympics right now. If we're not sure if we're going to take the mask off or not in Alabama, they can say all they want. They're going to have the Olympics in Tokyo this summer. But I would imagine it's all pretty fluid. I mean, you've got athletes from all over the world competing on one place.
Yeah.
You have the, for instance, one example we had of the sprinter from
Jamaica
saying, I'm not getting the vaccine. And he's a young, healthy sprinter. He's one of the fastest people in the world. I get it. He's like, I'm not going to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So anyway, there's a lot of hurdles they need, no pun intended, there's a lot of hurdles they need to get past to actually hold the Olympics this year.
Yeah. And it'll be interesting because, they're bringing the athletes in at a certain time, and then pretty much after their events end, they send them back home. No Olympic Village shenanigans this year. And I'm not sure if they're requiring the vaccine or not. I'm sure they'll be requiring masks and social distancing.
I would think they'd want you to have
that
vaccine. You were talking about this. More than 100 illegal immigrants released by the Border Patrol into Texas since late January have tested positive for the coronavirus following their arrival. Officials in a city on the U.S.-Mexico border told Fox News. Felipe Romero, a spokesman for Brownsville, said Wednesday that the 108 positives represent 6.3% of the number of total migrants who've been rapid tested at the city's main bus station, where they're being released by the Border Patrol. Rapid testing of the... Why are they testing them?
Why are they testing them? If they're just going to let them go?
Testing them and then just saying, okay, you're positive, good luck.
It makes absolutely zero sense.
I don't understand that.
Even if you are a proponent of immigration, and illegal immigration, even if you're saying, you know, the United States is known for, you know, bringing in everyone
open
and that we should
arms.
Have open borders. Usually it's those same people who are calling for lockdowns and testing at the airports and kicking people off flights for not wearing masks. So because conservatives don't want the border open, because Trump was building a wall and you want to go against that, so they just want it so badly that they're going to test these immigrants.
Well, test and release.
And then release them.
I mean, why bother to test them if 108 are now? So anyway, okay, so maybe the virus is trending way down.
Yeah, and if we're worried about these variants, you know, and one of those variants is the Brazil variant. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, a lot of the migrants aren't coming from Brazil. They're coming from other South American countries up through Mexico, but you have to think that the Brazil variant is more widespread, closer to Brazil.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely zero sense.
Agreed.
And this follows that absolutely insane story from the other day where 23 people were in that one van. And they said now that they went through a hole, that there was like this hole in, I don't think it's a new part of the border wall. It might be, but there was a hole in the border wall and vans and trucks were coming through there. And they actually stopped, I think, a Silverado, maybe not a Silverado. I can't remember what it was. And another vehicle came through. That other vehicle was the van that ended up getting T-boned by an 18-wheeler. I think 12 or 13 people died in that. And they believe it was illegal immigrants that were in that.
I'd like to see the setup of that. For instance, when they crossed the border, were they almost immediately on some sort of a main road that they where they could be struck and the tragedy could happen?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it just a terrible traffic accident after the fact that they got into the United States and they were driving along and just made or in an accident like that? Or was it so sudden as they got into the United States that the 18-wheeler hit them?
Well, it's interesting. My brother, who he lives in Del Rio, Texas, south of San Antonio. He's like right there on the Texas-Mexican border with the Air Force. And his truck actually was stolen. He parked it at a hotel near the San Antonio airport, and he thought everything would be safe, but somebody stole his truck a few months ago. And he had like an off-road truck. And he said it's actually really popular off-road vehicles being stolen in South Texas because they need the off-road vehicles, and it's not just, you know, smuggling immigrants into the United States, but drug smuggling as well. So by the time he did get his truck back,
it's completely trashed.
They took all the seats out. I think they were doing some modifications, all kinds of nasty trash left in there, and just completely destroyed his truck, basically. And they were going to rebuild it, I guess, in order to move drugs across the border. He got it back, but you don't think about things like that when you're not on the border.
Most disgusting thing left behind was 29 Del Taco wrappers and half-eaten burritos.
Yeah, and some yellow Gatorade. But it used to be orange Gatorade, so I'm not sure how the yellow Gatorade
I know he's strong-minded. He's an Air Force Academy graduate, but I don't know if emotionally he's ever going to... The sight of all those Del Taco wrappers.
Yeah, he's stunted now. Hey, we'll have to ask Rob about the state that if you've smoked at least 100 cigarettes, you can get the vaccine.
You want to give him that quiz?
Yeah.
See if we can name that state. It's 830 FM Talk 106.5. Dan Bennett, Dalton, and Orwig in Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Right now, time to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great. So, Louis, you're online right now in a virtual auction, and you could be buying someone's vehicle as we speak.
That's right. I mean, we are in the market to buy anybody's car. You know, whatever it is, don't be scared. Give us a call, 251-476-4141. Ask for Gene and I. Give us some miles. Give us a VIN number, and we'll shoot you a price right over the phone or bring it by here. We'll, you know, look at it. We look at it. We tend to give you a little more money for it because we're looking at it. So, like I said, come by here. We are in the market to buy some cars. It's tough out there right now, guys, and we're trying to get as many vehicles here as we can, We got some great deals on some new cars over there. You know, you got $8,000 off Encores, $10,000 off Envisions, $10,000 off Enclaves. I mean, you know, you can't get that much money off of them, but we're trying to move them. Get, like I said, get some more trades in here and get this used car inventory pumped back up a little bit. We want to appreciate everybody's been coming by here buying cars. I think we're going to be the Jeep capital of the world. Y'all looking for Jeeps? It's the summertime. We've got them. So come check us out. We're just sitting here in the middle of Mobile, right on Dolphin Street, beautiful Midtown.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Louie.
Thank you.
That is Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Louie just pushing that calendar forward, isn't he? It's 8:38 at FM Talk 106.5.
And it is a Thursday. That means it's time to talk with Rob Holbert, LanyapMobile.com, newest issue of Lanyap on stands now. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
We are doing great, my man.
Doing fantastic. And my favorite time of year, nappy voting, at least nomination period.
Nappy time again, yes. I know. It's like it's a joke. It's like the NBA season, you know. It's over for 3 weeks, and we start a new one.
Yeah. I wonder who the LeBron James of the nappies would be.
You're looking at him. He's looking at him right here.
Ashley Trice is it.
I thought it was me.
And you have a number of new categories this year, too. I'm sure, you know, every year that you do this, and it's been going on for a while now. Of course, last year we didn't have the nappies party, and for good reason, because of the pandemic. But a lot of new categories out there, too. I'm just trying to cut down on my list of the cutest cat on Mobile Bay. I've got a lot of nominees, and I got to whittle it down to one.
Yeah, last year we had most adorable dog, and it was a runaway. You know, just the amount of voting for the runaway for the dog was amazing, but also the amount of backlash from cat owners that we got was about equal. So we added cutest cat this year. So there's, you know, cat and dog lovers. You know, we may, you know, if you've got turtles, things like that, yes, they may. I'm sure they'll have their own category next year.
Are you quoting the governor on that? Or?
We don't know. Yeah, the herd of turtles. We've got some new stuff. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different categories that are new. A lot of medical things. A lot, just a variety of things. We take some off every year if nobody's voting for them and there's just really not much enthusiasm in a category, it may disappear. But the one that is my favorite, though, is my business or I am awesome, but I have no category. So right now we're nominating. It's a nomination period, so this is where people go in. It started yesterday at noon. Mm-hmm. You go in and you write in your business or yourself or whoever you're nominating for the various categories, and that's how over the next several weeks, we will get that together, and then there will be the top six in each of those categories will be the finalists.
Okay, and then we'll vote then. You've had some contentious categories in the past. I think best king cake, new category, that might come to blows.
Yeah, that's going to be tough. That's going to be a hard one. Yeah, I have the feeling that will be a very tough category. Mm-hmm. A lot of votes in that one, I bet.
Well, a lot of good stuff in this week's Lanyap, just like every week. There's tons to talk about, but the topic du jour of today is Governor Ivey, and coming up at 11 o'clock, the next press conference where she'll let Alabamians know whether the mask mandate and business ordinances will continue for at least another month or whether she'll phase them out or end them altogether this week. Breitbart had a story out, and they said sources tell them that the mask mandate will end. We won't know if that's true until later this morning, but what's your take on lifting the mask mandate? I mean, it seems like we're so close to herd immunity over the next few months. Why let up now? That's what a lot of people are saying.
Yeah, I mean, I have mixed feelings on it, but I get that, you know, to me at this point, if you want to let up on it, that's one thing. I think businesses can still obviously require them if they want to.
Mm-hmm.
The question, really, to me, the bigger issue is, can we get back to having, you know, full capacity in restaurants, things like that,
right,
help them get back in business? I mean, those are important things. But You know, it's, yeah, you know, we're kind of at the end of this thing. You know, we can get into the debate of if mask wearing does so much, why do we keep having spikes? Or, you know, I often, when I walk in a restaurant and walk 5 feet and sit down and take it off, I wonder, have I really done much? But, you know, those are, I'm sure there'll be people who are upset by that comment, but it's, you know, I sometimes wonder how much we're doing with some of it just because of the way we're wearing them. But I don't know. I kind of feel like she's probably going to keep the mask. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, Dalton and I have gone back and forth with this all this week, and we're wondering if Texas and Mississippi actually gave her cover. Like, now Alabama won't be so in the national news because it's already all the ire seems to be directed at Texas with their bigger cities. But Rob, here's the thing: you can drop the mandate, you can drop all of that. Are people then comfortable enough to actually? I mean, that doesn't mean that everybody's habits are going to change automatically, right?
Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I think people are getting the vaccine. You know, at least the people I know who've gotten the vaccine, a lot of them feel pretty bulletproof at
sure.
that point. You know,
yeah.
once they've gotten their second dose, I think they're sort of a little bit champing at the bit to stop, you know, wearing masks.
Yeah, yeah.
Those things, some of them seem to be. You know, so, you know, as we get more and more people vaccinated, and, you know, I mean, there are a lot of people who've had it and they're, you know, should have antibodies from it and that kind of thing. So there's, I mean, I think we're getting to a point where there are a lot more people who shouldn't be at risk. And, you know, they're going to want to live life without a mask on. I know it's going to be tougher probably to keep people wearing masks. But it probably, honestly, the smart thing is probably to just keep them for a little while longer and tough it out a little bit longer. We've done it this long. It would probably make sense to do that. I do think we ought to get back to having full capacity restaurants and allowing them to make those decisions. I was talking to a restaurateur this morning, though, and she was telling me, look, we don't even have the staff for full capacity. We couldn't do it. You know, it's finding people to work. It's finding those things. So it's not, for a lot of restaurants, I don't think it's going to just happen overnight either. You know, you'd say, hey, it's full capacity, but they still have to get back to, you know, having the staff to do it, find the people who want to do it. Some of these folks have been closed for a long time.
Yeah.
Some people are de-incentivized to get back to work quickly.
And that's, you know, that's the other thing. You know, are we going to, if the federal government starts putting more money into unemployment again, is there going to be an incentive for people to want to go back out and work?
Mm-hmm. The answer is no.
Great question. Yeah, and I'm way more concerned with what happens with the business ordinances today than the mask mandate. But I guess we'll have to wait until later this morning to find out.
Dalton, I think that's more important, honestly, to us. The mask mandate, to me, is if they want to keep it going, it's not going to break my heart. I'm not, you know, I think that at this point, like everybody is saying, hey, you know, we've done this for a while. Does it make a lot of sense to just be out front, just to be, you know, just to get rid of it? I don't know. I think a lot of businesses are still going to probably require it, even if it's gone. There's going to be some people who say, yeah, don't come in here without one.
Yeah, and from what I've observed, and I might get in trouble for saying this, how I feel, it seems like the mask issue is more like a don't run by the pool kind of order, or, you know, so like I've seen a lot of people that aren't wearing masks and I haven't seen anyone fined or arrested. So but I have seen a lot of businesses suffer greatly through the reduction and the amount of people that are allowed inside their doors.
Hey, I can tell you this. When I was a lifeguard, if you ran by the pool, there would be repercussions.
Well, there's a lot going on in Montgomery.
You let Rob be bare-chested and give him a whistle, and all bets
right.
are off.
Yeah.
This guy was a...
Things have changed a lot, Dan, in the last 45 years. I don't know if that's a good plan for anybody.
Let's talk gambling when we get back.
Yes.
Your editorial this week about the Del Marsh gambling bill. We'll talk with Rob about that when we get back. And what else is in the new issue of the Land Yap?
Yes, indeed. Dan, Brennan, Dalton, Orwig, FM Talk 106.5, 847. Mobile Mornings, Jeff Poore on the way a little after 9.
851 FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Thank you for listening.
Yay!
We'll talk with, continue our conversation with Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com here in just a minute. This segment brought to you by our good friends at 1-800 Scott Junk, a locally owned franchise doing great work in both Mobile and Baldwin counties. And, I mean, there are so many reasons for you to use 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And if you're wondering if you are a candidate, well, do you have a bunch of stuff lying around your house or out in your yard that you don't use anymore and probably wouldn't be useful for anyone else either? You don't have the time to get rid of it or the knowledge of where to take some of these things like old TVs and old computers. Just give Trey Bennett and the crew a call, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or visit them online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. It's really easy to make your appointment. They find a day that works for you. You both agree to that date, and then they show up. And if you're worried about, you know, being too close to others during this pandemic, they also offer no-contact junk removal. So you can just point to the stuff, and they'll get rid of it. Also, the price you get quoted is the price you'll pay. No surprise charges after they leave your home. So give them a call. Set up your appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, or online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
853 FM Talk, 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig, Rob Holbert from Lignette Mobile. Your cover story is something that you and I, well, part of the story, because there's a lot of corners to this story, but we had conversations about what was going on in areas of kind of known as Africatown or in the Pritchard area. And so it's a picture of the graveyard up there. So get into that a little bit, what that's all about.
Well, it's Kevin Lee did a really great story on basically the cancer cluster in the Africatown area. Just, you know, that area has been surrounded by very heavy industry for decades, you know, really actually probably a century. And, you know, they've had a lot of cancer deaths in Africatown, a lot of folks that have really gotten sick from, you know, what they think is, you know, from the heavy industry and the fallout. I mean, the paper mills were there. Both paper mills were right there for years. And it's just a discussion of that. And you know, they filed a class action suit, but the difficulties in doing that, there was a settlement, but it was really not much of a, it didn't really do much for anybody. So it's just a story looking back at those things and what is going on up there, what has gone on in that regard. But I think it's a really fascinating story and a really interesting look at just what one of our, you know, what one part of our community is endured.
Yeah, and the story that we talked about wasn't exactly in Africatown, and it wasn't exactly about those industries.
Yeah.
It was more with a broken pipe and Mobile Gas, I believe, before they sold
yeah.
to Spire.
Yeah.
And there was a cover-up, I think, to allow the sale
all
to
that,
happen.
That, or Captain, I believe, is what
yeah.
we talked about.
Yes.
That.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was efforts to keep that, you know, that story away from everybody, and people are saying, "No, you can smell it." And I went out there. I went out there one time to check it out. It was behind a church, down, you know, not away from Africatown, but in any event, in the middle of the day, I went out there, and there was no smell really. You could tell. And some of the citizens said, "Well, come back here. You should smell it in the middle of the night." And I said, "Well, that's no problem. I get up in the middle of the night."
Mm-hmm.
I drove out there, Rob. And I thought I'd have to roll my window down just to see if I could smell it. It was so bad that I couldn't roll my window down.
Oof,
it was
yeah.
so, and I just sped out of there like, okay, I get it. And those poor people were living in the middle of it, you know, year after year, kind of shameful.
Yeah, it's always a difficulty when that's one of those things that people have to be vigilant about. Unfortunately, we live in a world where everybody doesn't always do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those cases.
It'll be interesting. Can't wait to check in on that cover story. Also, your editorial this week, and you know quite a bit about the legalization of casinos and gaming. We have this bill sponsored by Senator Del Marsh and kind of wrapping all three, the lottery, casino gaming, and sports gaming in the same bill. And if it makes it through the House and Senate, Alabamians would be allowed to vote on all of those at one time. And, you know, we've been discussing this a lot over the last couple of weeks, and lots of fors and lots of againsts this bill. It does seem like most people at least want Alabamians to have the ability to vote on lottery, maybe not the rest of it wrapped together.
Yeah, I think that's why it is wrapped together. It's pretty obvious that Alabamians want to vote for a lottery, and I think it will pass without any problem if it was just a lottery bill. What we've got with the lottery is, here's a lottery, and by the way, if you do that, if you want to pass that, you've got to pass this casino-style gaming as well, which the problems with that bill are it locks us into seven or eight casinos, tops. Mm-hmm. Mississippi has 36.
Wow.
Just to give you an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it locks us into doing this. It basically turns it, you know, almost into a monopoly at this point. Porch Creek Indians, PCI, would have they would have their three casinos they already have in the state, plus Greyhound Park and Mobile Greyhound Park. So that gives them a pretty good bit of of the business, and it's nothing against them. They run a fine organization. It's fine, but you know what we're doing is saying, hey, we don't want competition. I don't really understand why we're doing that.
Yeah,
and the answer is always the same. Well, we couldn't do it if we can't get nothing passed if we don't do it that way. Because, I mean, it's basically an admission that our legislature is bought and paid for by special interest. It's the lottery amendment has agriculture scholarships and things in it. It has agriculture as part of it because Alpha was going to be against it. So they stuck. If Alpha's going to be against it, it won't pass, so we've got to placate Alpha.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's. I mean, there's just really. This is about as open an admission from our legislature that they can't do anything because they are bought and paid for by special interests, and that's where we are with this. I don't know why we want a gambling, casino bill that says, you can't build a casino in Mobile.
Right, and really interesting. Damn the torpedoes from Rob. We appreciate your time, Rob.
Yep.
If folks want to sign up, lanyapmobile.com, or check out the newest issue on stands now, Lanyap. Want to check it out.
Talk to you in a week, Rob. Thanks, man. You got it. It's 8:59, probably more on the governor's 11 o'clock announcement and the gambling bill with Jeff Poore on the way.